I want to switch gears now. Freight and shipping issues have roiled businesses in recent months, and the latest controversy between Canadian truckers protesting at the border isn't making matters any easier. And now Ottawa has declared a state of emergency over a key blockaded U.S. bridge leading into Detroit. I want to bring in our next guest to help us discuss this and break things down, Aaron Tarazas, Convoy Director of Economic Research. Aaron, thanks so much for being here. Just want you to weigh in on, you know, this latest move between the U.S. and Canada. They're such strategic shipping partners. They really need each other. And, you know, the bridge being blocked right into Detroit, which obviously is a key distribution point for automakers, so exacerbating chip supply issues, you know, in an industry that is already reeling.
No, that's absolutely right. This blockage definitely comes at an inopportune time. The auto industry was just beginning to ramp back up production from the chip shortages. You look at auto production, there was just back getting back to pre-chip shortage levels. This is obviously going to disrupt that. You think of all the spillovers to the rest of the economy. Auto industry and the auto supply chain is about 3 to 5% of truck movements nationwide. Anytime you block that corridor, that's going to have a spillover effect. And I think this is just yet another example of the shocks that the trucking industry and the freight industry have been grappling with over the past couple of months. You know, usually this time of year is a seasonal lull, but between the winter storms, both on the West Coast and the eastern half of the country in January, and then the Omicron surge, it just hasn't been able to catch a breather.
And Aaron, I want to switch gears now and talk about the logjam and backups, you know, out in the West on the ports there. And typically, there's a slowdown during the Lunar New Year. So I'm wondering if that has helped alleviate any sort of gross backlogs that you've seen. According to the Marine Exchange of Southern California, they say there were 78 ships in the queue on February 9th compared to 109 1 month earlier. So are things easing? Is the worst over?
I think all the data suggests that the situation, particularly in the port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, is improving. You know, you start to see that the number of ships arriving is trending downward. I think the number of new ships coming into berth this week was about 17. That's in line with 2019, 2018 averages. That's a totally manageable level of imports. That said, the number of containers moving through the port is still very high. And you know, if you look at some of the delays on the inland side, once those containers are getting off the ships, you are starting to see improvement there. A year ago this time, the amount of time that a trucker was waiting to load a container and load kind of to move on inland was about 90 to 95 minutes. Right now, it's about 80 to 85 minutes. So, you know, 10 to 15 minute improvement reduction in wait time for those truckers loading their vans at the Port of LA.
And then shipping is quite seasonal. So when do we have this slack period, and when do you see freight and port issues normalizing a little bit more?
Yeah, so in a normal year, you start to see freight volumes pick up again in spring and March and April as produce season gets underway. We're already in an early produce season coming out of Florida. We're in a La Nina year. A lot of California is in drought, and produce season does tend to start earlier in drought years just because you have a sunnier, kind of warmer climate in January and February for things like lettuce coming out of the Imperial Valley. So, you know, we're already starting to see the initial inklings of produce season, and that's basically going to drive the freight market through June and July into August.
And then what do you see as the next big risk on the horizon? Because I know labor negotiations are ongoing with the PMA. So what are the sticking points there? And then what are businesses and, you know, shippers doing to be proactive about that?
You know, I think that's absolutely true. Anyone in supply chain right now is trying to look around the corner to see what risks might be on the horizon. And I think in March, we're going to see a little bit of a catch up from the Lunar New Year delays, and also shippers and manufacturers and retailers trying to get ahead of, you know, potential labor action at the ports later this year in April and March. Those contract negotiations are up for renegotiation in late spring. And so, you know, I think everyone's going to try to get ahead of that curve, even if it does not materialize. You know, beyond that, I think there are a lot of improvements that we're seeing. The industry has certainly learned from the pandemic, and I think some of the changes and learnings from the pandemic are going to be enduring. You know, just one detail is there has been a dramatic growth in drop and hook volume. That's basically disconnecting the front of the truck, the tractor, from the trailer. So the driver, the trucker, doesn't have to wait while the trailer gets loaded, unloaded. Saves the trucker as much as 3 to 4 hours in wait time. Every 1% of volume nationwide that shifts to like a drop and hook model is about adding 10,000 drivers, the equivalent of adding 10,000 drivers to the system nationwide. That can make a big dent in all the driver shortages that the industry has been talking about.
And then, Aaron, I want to ask you really quickly, you know, rising inflation hasn't stopped imports. We saw that in our record deficit last year. When do you think that growth starts to slow, particularly, you know, China growth is slowing, and now there's this big wave of Omicron there that may have an impact. So do you think that we see slowing growth into the second half of this year, let's say?
The baseline expectation among economists is certainly that growth starts to slow. It's hard to imagine a third consecutive year of record consumer spending in the economy. Obviously, there's not going to be that same degree of fiscal or monetary support. So there's obviously downside risks on the consumer side. That said, there's probably upside risk on the industrial side, a lot of supply chains ramping back up. And keep in mind that, you know, with diverging monetary policy and central bank policies between the United States and China, we could start to see, you know, even more tailwinds to imports as the Chinese currency becomes, you know, a little bit less strong and kind of capital flows towards the United States kind of keep the dollar relatively strong. So that could actually propel volumes through these ports moving forward.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for your perspective, Aaron Terezas, Convoy Director of Economic Research.